It's a new term. Welcome back for those who were away. We're always excited with new beginnings, even though they are very unnatural. New years, new terms, but it is an opportunity for us to always start afresh, start new, and it's a new term. It's a very short term. This term, there's only about 6 or 7 weeks before December. I hear it's one of the shortest terms ever in the history of the schools. It's always a very busy time of the year. There's so many year-end functions, and if you've got children, concerts and concerts and concerts, and then just more concerts. And we realize it's a very short term, busy term. So this term, we're really not going to focus as much on small groups as we used to. Some of the small groups are still continuing. Please contact your small group leader if you're unsure whether your small group is continuing. But this term, really, we want to focus on Freedom Week. In November, the 10th and the 11th, it will be a Friday evening and a Saturday morning. We have a father and son coming down to minister to us, to facilitate on the 10th and 11th of November. And Freedom Week is really all about patterns and strongholds that has formed in our lives, that has kept us bound and trapped into a continual spiral of doing things in a certain way. And it's an opportunity for us really to meet with God and allow Him to set us free from these things that have shaped our lives. You know, many of us, as we have grown up in this life, in this world, have been hurt by the decisions that we have made and by others. And it shapes the way we see ourselves and people around us. And Freedom Weekend is really just about creating a space where we can connect with God, where He can come and restore and heal us from that destructive patterns in our lives. So I want to really encourage you, if you can, mark this in your diary, the 10th and the 11th of November. It's Dominee Andre O'Kennedy. He's from Gaudini. He's a Dominee in the NG Kerk. And sy seun Amo O'Kennedy, which was my youth pastor some times ago, and he's now a pastor in George, in the Shofar George. So it's a father and son combination that's going to minister to us. So I want to really encourage you to be part of that. And with that said, the next couple of Sundays, I'm just really going to preach around this concept and this topic of freedom and what God has done for us through His Son, and how we can prepare ourselves for this weekend where we just come into His space and allow the Holy Spirit to work through us. It's not intimidating. It's nothing to be scared of. It's really just an opportunity to really open our lives and our hearts to God to come and minister to us. So I want to encourage you to join us for that. You know, at the fall, when sin entered the world through disobedience, a lot of pain and hurt followed. A lot of rejection and fear and insecurity came with sin. And this pain and insecurity was not only within us, it started to hurt people around us. And we soon see how Cain murdered his brother Abel. And we see how this sin and this hurt and this pain and this insecurity, this rejection, this fear spread throughout humanity. Sin not only grew within man, but it spread through man. And not only do we need to deal with our own sin, but we also need to deal with the sin of others. It's not only our own sin that hurts us, it's also the sins of others towards us that hurts us and shapes us. And we have to deal with these things, and this hurt that is formed within us have this tendency not just to scar us, but to shape the way we see ourselves and the way we see others. After the fall, there was just so many choices. You know, after we ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, all of a sudden, the knowledge of evil was also presented to us. Before the fall, there was only good. And the amazing thing is, before the fall, God gave us lots of options. And all these options, the consequences of these options were good. As a matter of fact, we could do whatever we want except one thing. There was only one bad option. There was only one option that could cause harm. And that one option was clearly marked. So man was given an environment where all the options, all the choices were good choices. And the consequences was life. But there was one choice. There was one option that was bad. And it was clearly marked. Unfortunately, man ended up making that one bad choice. And sin entered into the world. And with it, all the hurt, the pain, the fear, the insecurity, the rejection, and death came with it. But today we still have the power to choose. There's just so many choices to be made. There's just so many options out there. So many good and so many bad. But we still have the power to choose. We still have the power to choose to believe or not to believe. We can choose to lie or not to lie. We can choose to retaliate or not to retaliate. We can choose to forgive or we can choose not to forgive. We can choose to walk by the flesh or we can choose to walk by the Spirit. There's just so many choices, so many options, and so many consequences of our choices. And throughout life, we make decisions that hurt us and we make decisions that hurt others. Or we are hurt by the decisions and choices of others. And it's this vicious spiral of hurt and pain and disappointment. And like I said, these hurts that we have suffered and that we have caused shapes us. Over time, it shapes the way we see ourselves. And it starts to shape the way we see others. And we go through life scarred. And all these wounds in us, they cause either a defensive pattern to develop within us. As we have to deal with these wounds and scars within us, it tends to translate into a defensive posture where we develop a way to deal with these pains and these wounds and the possibility of being hurt again. And we find ourselves forming this defensive patterns within our lives. Or we fall into destructive patterns that hurt others in a response of the pain that we have suffered, or to try and protect us from being hurt, we rather hurt others before we are hurt again. And we see this downward spiral of pain and hurt and disappointment. And these patterns become strongholds in our lives. Stronghold is a belief, it's a mindset or an addiction that becomes so strong in us that we cannot escape it even when we try. So we see the cycle of destruction in us and around us. And we are either in denial about it or we try to justify it. So many times when we are faced with these patterns in our lives, these strongholds, we either respond to them in absolute denial or we try to justify them. And as I've counseled people over the years, I see this pattern where people either deny the existence of what is so clearly seen in and around them, or they try to justify the reason they do these things. And the hurt and the pain continues. You know, we are all broken and captive to one degree or the other. But before we fall into despair, at the right time, God sent His Son into the world, into our brokenness, into our fallenness, into our helplessness. When we were still powerless, God sent His Son to save us. He sent His Son to heal us, to restore us, to redeem us, to put us back together again. Jesus, at the start of His ministry, stood up in the synagogue and He read from the book of Isaiah. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Jesus came into our brokenness and our hurt, not just to set us free, but to heal us, to restore us, Jesus said these things. And then he sat down and he said, today the scripture is be fulfilled in your hearing. It's been fulfilled in your hearing. I've come to preach the good news, to heal the brokenhearted, to set the captives free, to give sight to the blind, and liberty to the oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. That is what Jesus came to do for us. The answer to our brokenness is found in Jesus. Jesus not only came to preach the good news, but to heal, to set free, to give sight, and to proclaim. And the answer to all the freedom and healing that we need so desperately, it's found in this one person, Jesus Christ. He came to set us free and to heal us. When we surrender our lives to Him and allow Him to enter into our hearts and our fears, when we allow Him to come into our lives, when we put our trust and our faith in Him and we humble ourselves and we make ourselves vulnerable and we allow Him to come into our lives, it is then when He heals. It's then when He sets free and He restores and He renews. And this is what Freedom Week is all about. It's simply creating a space where God can come and speak to each one of us where we're at. We can humble ourselves and trust Him and allow Him by His Spirit. And we can cooperate with Him. And this is one of the things that I see, that God longs to heal, to restore, to renew. But we need to respond. We need to cooperate with His Spirit as He does so. Why do so many Christians struggle with inner wounds and strongholds and not walk in freedom? Well, over the years I've realized mostly because we don't understand our identity. We don't understand what happened through salvation. We don't understand our identity in Christ. And we don't understand this relationship that we stand in with God now and what He has done for us. And it's either because of ignorance, and I believe most of people still struggle with these wounds and pains because they do not really know, they do not really understand what God has done. Isaiah 4 verse 6 says, my people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. They do not understand what God has done for them and who they have become because of what I've done for them. Romans 6 verse 1 to 3 says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died in sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know? Do you not understand? Do you not realize? That as many as was baptized into Christ Jesus was baptized into His death. The scripture points it and puts it so powerfully that so many of us are still in a broken cycle because we do not know, we do not understand, we do not realize what has happened through Christ's, not just His death and resurrection, but our surrender to Him, our salvation through Him, the new birth, what we have become and what He has made available for us. And because of a lack of understanding, a lack of knowledge, we continue an old pattern that is destructive. Yet God has already come to renew and to redeem and to restore. But because of our lack of understanding, we continue in a pattern that still destroys around us. We're still ignorant. You're surrendered to Christ through faith by grace and being in Christ. And I've mentioned just a few things, that you have been redeemed and forgiven of all your sins. You've been justified. You've been freed from condemnation. You've been bought at a price and you now belong to God. You've been adopted as a child of God, sealed with the Holy Spirit, hidden in Christ with God, complete in Christ. You have direct access to God. You cannot be separated from the love of God. We have been assured that all things will work together for good. You are God's workmanship. You are the temple of God. You are seated with Christ in heavenly places. You have been chosen and appointed to bear fruit. You are a co-worker with God. You are His personal witness. You are an ambassador for Christ. You are a minister of reconciliation, and you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And so I could have continued to lengthen this list and keep you busy for another hour, just naming reality, truth after truth that God has established through Christ Jesus, His death, His resurrection, but the new birth through faith by grace when we were transformed and renewed and we became a new creation in Christ Jesus. This is what has been established in and through us. Yet so many of us live in ignorance of these realities. Most Christians struggle through life because of this ignorance, not knowing, understanding, or believing what God has done for them and who they've become through Him. But then also there are some others that struggle with these strongholds and patterns in their lives because of plain carnality. They still have the one foot in the world and the other foot in the kingdom, and they're drawn between the lusts of the world and the promises of God, and they find themselves indecisive as to how much they should surrender, how much should they trust, how much should they believe. And there's a lack of real repentance and faith in God. But then there's still more that struggle with these patterns, these strongholds, because they've been deceived by the devil. They believe his lies. The devil has been lying from the beginning. He's been called the father of lies. And that's what he does from the beginning of time until now, from the beginning of human time until now, he's been lying. That's what he does. He lies. So he will come to you and say that nobody loves you, that you're not good enough, that you cannot be free. That's what the devil do. And I see so many Christians, they do not walk in freedom because they believe the lie of the devil. You're not worth it. Nobody loves you. Nobody cares. You cannot be free. And you'll have to deal with this for the rest of your life. You know what? Whatever the devil says to you, it's a lie. As a matter of fact, all you have to do, whenever it whispers in your heart, in your soul, and we all know that voice that wants to break us down. Whenever he speaks to you, all you need to do is turn it around. Because he's a liar. So whenever he tells you, you are not loved, you can say, I know I am loved by God. When he says, you cannot heal, be healed, you can say, I know God can heal me. When he says you cannot be free, you can turn around and say, you know what? In Christ, I'm already free. Because he's a liar. He's a liar. Don't believe him. Don't listen to him. That's the way we respond to the devil. Whenever he speaks to you, you confess the truth. And if you don't know the truth, just turn what the devil says around. It's simple. If he tells you you're not going to make it, you can respond by saying, I thank God that I am going to make it. Whatever he says, you can turn it around. Because he's a liar. The word says, we must submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from us. Well, the way you submit to God is you believe him. That's how we submit to God. You believe his word. I mean, that's how sin entered into the world, when we believed Satan's word instead of God's word. God says, this is yours. It's for your good. Just don't eat of this one tree. And the devil said, no, you can eat of this tree. It's actually for your good. You will not die. Well, maybe if Eve heard my sermon, she would have said, no, it's bad for me. Whatever you say is not the truth. And yes, I will die if I eat of it, simply because you say I won't. That's how we need to deal with the devil. Don't believe him. But we need to submit to God. We need to believe his word. The battle is mostly in our minds. We struggle with these voices and these options. And we know what the word of God says, how we should live, but then we hear what the world says. And we're not sure because this is sugar-coated in such a way, it's presented in such a way, and the gratification, the reward is so sweet initially, but it destroys us at the end, and we need to choose between what God says and what the devil says, what God says and what the world says. Yet the one leads to life and the other to destruction. Battle is mostly in our minds. That's why Romans 12, verse 1 to 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You need to be changed. By the renewing of your mind, you need to change the way you think. Change the way you think. That's really what repentance means. Change the way you think. So that you might prove what is good and acceptable and perfect. What is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God? The renewing of the mind happens through the Word of God and faith in it. That's why so many Christians struggle today, because they do not know, they do not understand, because they do not read the Bible. And when they read the Bible, they simply read it. They're not searching it for truth. But the reason we are trapped, the reason why we cannot be free, the reason why we're still struggling with our wounds is because we do not know what God has spoken over us. And if we do not know it, how will we ever believe it? And for those of us that sometimes have read it before, we've heard it before, we just cannot believe it. But it is in the knowing of God's love and what He has done for us, and our believing in it, our accepting it, our embracing it. It's in that place where the power of God manifests and restores and heals and renews and sets free. It's the renewing of the mind through the Word of God and faith in it. And then proclaiming the truth. Proclaiming the truth. I mean, you need to not just believe it, you need to proclaim it. You know, that's something so powerful about, you know, where the Word says, you know, we believe in our mouth, in our hearts, and we confess with our mouths, the confession of our mouths. It is the proclamation of the truth. It is the expression of truth. There's something powerful about our words when we proclaim something that we believe. I mean, we can see it right through creation. God spoke. So powerful. God didn't think, let there be light. He spoke, let there be light. And there was power in His words. And as a matter of fact, that Word that was with God in the beginning and was God, and everything that was made through Him. That Word is the life of men, and that life is the light that shines into the darkness, and darkness cannot overcome it. I mean, it's such a powerful description of the truth of God, which is His Son that became flesh. It's when we speak the truth, when you speak the truth, it is the light that shines into the darkness. And darkness cannot overcome it. It flees from it. When darkness comes around your heart, when it comes into your soul, that's when you need to speak the Word. That's when you need to switch on the light. You know, I counsel so many Christians. They walk past the light switch and they tell me how dark their darkness is. And I'm thinking, but just switch on the light. There's some Christians, they focus so much on the darkness. They can tell you how deep this darkness is and how thick this darkness is and how powerful this darkness is. And they can explain to you in depth how the darkness works. And I'm thinking, if you would just spend half the time that you are trying to understand darkness, if you would just spend half the time to understand the light, you will not have a problem with the darkness. Because darkness was defeated. It was defeated. Christians, I just want to say, the devil and his angels, fallen angels, the demons, the principalities, the powers, they were defeated. Defeated. And after they were defeated, they were disarmed. You know what? Their weapons was, I was in the military. When you capture guys, the first thing you do is say, hands up. Surrender. Stop. Then we take away your weapons. And then we march you off with your hands on the head or whatever. We tie you with, now they tie them with cable ties. For crying out now. But anyway. They were not just defeated. They were disarmed. And they were made a public spectacle. So when the devil comes unarmed, you only need to switch on the light. Remind him, hey, actually, you're defeated. You actually have no power anymore over me because I'm in Christ. I've been redeemed. I've been saved. I belong to God. I'm His possession. You better not mess with me because I belong to God. The only thing the devil can do is to deceive you, is to make you believe that he is powerful, that he has weapons, and he can destroy you. The only power the devil has in our lives is the power we give him through believing his lies. Now, somebody is lying. Either God is lying or the devil is lying. I pick, I think God is telling the truth. I don't think the devil is. You're right. I know God is telling the truth and the devil is lying. But don't be fooled. He's not stupid. He's not stupid. He's dangerous. He's dangerous. He's dangerous in his deception. He's dangerous in his lies. But he's defeated. Don't forget that. Or understand who you are in Christ and what He has done for you, and understand that He is the light. And that light is within you, and wherever that light goes, darkness has to flee. And all the devil wants you to do is not to switch on the light. So he will come with these lies. He will come with these lies and say, you are not worth it. You are not loved. You cannot be free. Because he knows if you believe it, it will destroy you. And all he wants you to do is not switch on the light. Because the moment you switch on the light, the moment you say, but I am in Christ. I have been redeemed. I have been saved. I am accepted. I am beloved. See, that counters the lie. That's where the light comes into. And you know what the devil does? He flees from you. But you need to believe it. You need to speak it. There's something powerful about confession. There's something powerful about reading the word. Sorry, I always say that, but I hope one day when I'm dead, that's the only thing that you will remember of me. I love it to put it on my gravestone. Read the word. It's all you need to put there. Just read the word. But just read the word. Study the word. Memorize the word. That's what Jesus did when the devil came. And he still had power then. When the devil came to Jesus, Jesus said, it was written. Boom. He's a Pharisee for your devil. Boom. Next question. Next temptation. Next attempt. Oh, this. Okay, well, it is written. Boom. Next one. And you know, after a while, the devil got it. Okay, it's not working. You know what? If it worked for Jesus, it will work for you. He set the example for us so that we can follow in His footsteps. And I want to encourage you, read the Word, memorize it. Memorize it and speak it. Bring forth life. We need to proclaim the truth. You know, once you know the truth, you need to stand for it. I don't know if you've noticed in this world, but truth always gets challenged. It always gets challenged. And there's a saying in this world, it's not a scripture, but it is so true, evil prospers because good men do nothing. Well, I want to rephrase it, it's because good men do not stand for the truth. They do not stand for it, and that's not what the Bible teaches. It says that we must stand. It says you must put on the whole armor of God. And then you must stand. I mean, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 to 5 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds." I want you to see this. Our weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God to pull down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Yes, there are strongholds, but our weapons are more powerful than these strongholds. It's designed to destroy them. Yes, there are arguments that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. You can go to any university, you can go to any school, and you will find it, but our weapons are powerful to cast down these arguments and to bring every thought into captivity. Yes, the devil will come from the outside and try to deceive you from the inside. But you must take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, to His Word. When He says you are not loved, you can say, "I am loved." When you are a failure, you can say, "Well, I've been redeemed. I've been seated with Christ." You can just proclaim it in faith and truth. And you know what? You cancel it. So don't believe the lie that you are not loved, that you cannot make it. You cannot be restored. You cannot be healed. You cannot be free. It's a lie from the devil. But we need to put on the whole armor. The whole armor. So interesting. We all know the armor of God, but it starts with the armor of God. Remember, who does Kiddies Church? Where does it start? The belt? Huh? Well, there's five pieces of that, but it starts with the girdle of truth, doesn't it? Holds everything together, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith. And then there's the word, the shoes. The shoes. Yes. We must put on the whole gospel, the whole armor. We must put it on, and then we must stand. Then we must stand. The truth holds everything together. But stand. Stand. Freedom starts with our hearts, our faith in God, our repentance from dead works, from the sin and our reaction to sin. And then we need to understand and know that we are in Christ. And these two things is where our healing and our freedom starts. This is all I want to share this morning. This is just the two things where our healing and our freedom starts. It's with the understanding of what God has done for us. Our understanding and our faith in what He has done for us and our relationship with Him. If you have a right understanding and a right relationship with God, you will be free. You will be restored. You will be healed. All those wounds, all those scars, all those strongholds will come down. But you need to understand what God has done for you. You need to have a right relationship with Him, where you follow Him and you surrender to Him and you cooperate with His Spirit working in Him. And when He does His thing in His time, in His way, surrender to the Holy Spirit when He speaks to you. Humble yourself and allow Him to work and to expose and to heal. But with these two things, we find our healing. Then we need to take our stand with the full armor of God, pulling down the strongholds, casting down the arguments, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. When the devil speaks, we take it captive, and we make it obedience. And we say, "I am not a failure, because Jesus said, I am His, and He is mine. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I'm seated with Him in heavenly places. And I'm a co-heir with Christ. I mean, so one can continue. But you must make a stand. That's what Freedom Week is all about. We will train you how not just to be free, but to continue in freedom. So I want to invite you to join us in the next couple of Sundays. That is what we're going to be preaching on as we prepare ourselves not just to be free, but to set others free. That weekend we'll be free of charge. I guess because we don't give lunch, we're going to finish before lunch. But this weekend is not just about your freedom. No, it's about the freedom of the people around you. Because the reason God wants us to be free is so that He can send us out to free others. That's really also what our heart is about. It's not just to see you healed and restored and redeemed and freed, but to encourage you to take what you have received and give it away. Go into this world, into this brokenness, into this pain, and when people see your wholeness and they ask you that you can give to them what you have received, then you can lead them to the one who has put you together, the one who has made you whole, which is Jesus. That's what the weekend is all about. It's your freedom, yes, but our expectation is to sow you into this world. To give you the boldness of the understanding and the reality, to give you a testimony of how God has delivered you, has set you free, has put you back together again. So that you can share that with others. Because the world so desperately needs the revelation of the sons of God. Even as creation yearns for the revelation of the sons of God, so does this world, so does this brokenness. People have turned so far away from God, they are hungry for Him all over again. It's amazing to see how people are hungry for the truth. Hungry for the truth. The harvest is truly plentiful. The laborers are few. Let us allow the light to come and change us so that we can become the light to this world. Let us pray. Father, I want to thank you that you have come to give us your Son so that we can have life. You've given us your Son, Lord, to save us from the consequence of our sin. You took that consequence, you took that curse upon yourself. You faced the wrath of God, you faced His punishment, so that you can declare it is finished, it is over, it is done with. That we don't need to face the consequences and the punishment of our sins. And yes, God, in this life, there is consequences to our actions, and there is hurt and pain that we have suffered and we have caused others, Lord, but I want to thank you that in Christ you have made a way to be healed, to be forgiven, and to speak forgiveness. And Lord, I pray that in this week and the weeks to come, Lord, that we will approach you, Lord, with an expectation and a desire that we will humble ourselves before you and we say, Lord, Holy Spirit, come search my heart. Lord, show me the wounds. The scars, the patterns, the strongholds. Lord, I pray that you will show me what you have done for me. God, I pray that you will give me the faith to believe you and to trust you and to allow you to come into my heart. That you will come and touch those wounds and heal them, restore them. Set me free, Lord, from the battens, the strongholds. You make me free. God, I pray that you will give us the boldness to share that freedom. So tell us, Lord, this morning I pray in this week that you will come. You will start working in us as we prepare ourselves for this weekend, for this opportunity. Lord, I pray that you will come and do your work in us, through us. We ask this in Jesus' name.